So if you're anything like me and you absolutely dread the idea of having to stay on top of your own social media, then this is the episode for you. In today's episode, I'm going to be interviewing my social media management company who has taken over both my Workflow Queen social media and also my own bookkeeping firm social media as well. They have been so transformative in the way that we have up-leveled our presence. We switched to them recently in the summer of 2023. We changed from our old social media manager into the new one, and I really think that you're going to enjoy this episode because Sydney Chase is just wicked smart. Her firm and her team is just incredible when it comes to the strategy of our social media, staying on top of the comments and the interactions. And so she's going to be dropping some golden nuggets for you today. She's going to be talking about when to know when to let go of your social media management to someone else and who that person actually looks like and how they can be of support for you. She's also going to be talking about getting content for your social media where maybe you don't want to or don't feel comfortable showing up on camera. She's going to give you some ideas of ways that you could not have to physically be there showing up on camera. And she's going to be giving you lots of tips of different ways to understand what platform is best for your niche and so on and so forth. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Do you ever feel like if you had actionable systems in place that it can actually take your practice to the next level? Can you imagine the freedom you'd gain from finally getting everything out of your head and into a system that can help you move things on autopilot? Do you ever feel like you want to hire help for your practice, but you just don't know where to start? Trust me, I get it, and you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be this way. You're kick-ass at doing the bookkeeping and accounting work. There's no doubt about that. But you struggle to maintain the systems and operations of your business. Am I right? But don't worry, that's where I come in, the Workflow Queen. I'm going to guide you on how to implement tech, systems, and automation in your practice so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I can't wait to support you here on the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host here, Alyssa Lang, the Workflow Queen. I'm so excited. And I know I say that every single time I have a guest on, but I'm actually really excited about this one. She was introduced actually by one of my students inside of Breakthrough when I was on a hunt for a new social media management agency, just someone who can just align with the new growth in the business. I was finding that the old social media manager that we worked with, she was lovely and I will always love her forever and forever, but she got me where I wanted to be, but not where I wanted to go in the future. And so it was really important to realign the people that were working with me to get me to that next level version of what we wanted here at Workflow Queen, not just for Workflow Queen, but also for my own firm as well. This is Sydney Chase. She does both the social media management for both my companies. And so today we're going to talk about things you can implement in your firm that can help you maximize all the different opportunities in the social media world. So Sydney, once again, thank you so much for being here today. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Alyssa. I am also so stoked to be here as a loyal listener to your podcast. It's like surreal when it feels like, you know, you're watching a TV show and then you're like, oh my God, I'm actually on it. So it is such an honor to be here and thank you for asking me. So as Alyssa said, I am the owner and founder of 22 Marketing Co. We are a social media marketing agency and we primarily specialize doing organic content creation, organic marketing for incredible women entrepreneurs. A lot of the people we work with range from solopreneurs just getting started to incredible like other agency owners. We haven't necessarily kind of niched into a specific industry, more so niching in who we love to work with and the type of people that we work with. And I remember just as soon as Alyssa and I started talking, I could just tell right away that like, she's an ideal client. Like you just get that vibe and energy from people. And I feel like that's always a big decision maker for me when I'm deciding to work with someone too. And that's the same type of strategies that we like to put in place for our clients is attracting the right people. And so that is like at the base of everything that we do. And so we're so happy to support you and all the incredible things that you do. And it's been really cool to just see your incredible audiences and like how receptive they are to things and how, you know, they're such big fans of you and the work. So I'm excited to talk with them.
Yeah, it's so fun because as most of you listening, if you've ever interacted on our Instagram or pretty much anywhere on any of the social platforms, you most likely have talked at Workflow Queen specifically, most likely have talked with Sydney, but you didn't know it was Sydney. But usually they have an amazing job of pinging me on Slack, which I'm already so terrible at checking, which I'm like the worst. But anyways, they have a really great job of being like, hey, I think it's time for you to step in and have that conversation and do that voice note with this student or with this fan or whoever is, you know, kind of coming into the world. So it's so nice to have you guys because you really have taken so much more off my plate than before. Like I said, I worked with a social media manager for 3 years. Like the whole time of Workflow Queen, I've always had someone because I knew from the very beginning that was something I did not want on my plate. I don't like it. I don't like having to create content. I don't like trying to be a person that I don't want to be when it comes to the creative aspect of things. I want to focus on what I want to. And that was like probably one of the first things here at Workflow Queen that actually outsourced was the social media management with Kiara was the original girl. And she was amazing. And I love her so much. But like I said, I just like I always preach about outgrowing maybe you're a bookkeeper. I also think I just outgrew my social media management agency that I worked with. And so how long has it been? It's been since like August of 2023.
Yeah, I think so. In the summer. Yeah. So it's right around the last boot camp.
Oh, yeah. When we did the breakthrough one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Yes. It was in the summer. But I remember the moment. I'll kind of like do my best to loop anyone in who's maybe like feeling like one, they might not have someone who's supporting them in this capacity. I know this industry really needs it. And also two, might be thinking maybe they need someone to like up level that experience for them. I know for me, the defining moment was just like, especially my firm, as you know, when we do our monthly calls about both the company. So about Workflow Queen and my firm, I know that my biggest focus right now is the firm because Workflow Queen just runs on its own. It's happy. It's doing its thing. But the thing I wasn't getting from the prior relationship I had was that I felt like we just kind of was at the standstill, that I knew we had a lot of content information. There was things that just felt misaligned. And I feel like we couldn't get on the same page. And it was like so many years. And it was so interesting to me to see that happen. But like I said, I kind of shifted as an individual too. So I actually was like looking around for someone and I posted inside of my breakthrough group. And one of our students, Christy, actually was like, oh my God, we just started working with Sydney at 22 Marketing Co. and blah, blah, blah. And I'm really big. Really big on like, if their content's already not good, then they're most likely not going to be on top of their stuff. And I remember like, I had like, I talked to four different people, I think. At that time. Yeah. I talked to four different agencies. A lot of them were amazing. There was two, you and another girl, Hannah, and I love her too. She was amazing. But I think what differentiated you between her was the fact that you guys do this. I think it was like this holistic approach that you didn't just do like the social media. It was like you guys also holistically could step in on my behalf and help have those conversations because that's draining as someone who's busy doing all the other things all day. The last thing I want to do is check my Instagram comments and have to keep up with that.
1,000%.
Exhausting for me. So in case you didn't know, that was the reason why I'm posting you guys. But anyways, I was so happy about it. But it took us like about a month to do the onboarding because I know that you guys have like your onboarding is staggered out.
Yeah.
And it worked out perfect. And then we went into the boot camp and oh my God, it's been an incredible experience. We've had a lot of great wins. So
yeah,
I would love to take a step back. I just wanted to give people some context of working with you guys and what that looked like. I'd love to take a step back and just kind of from the experience of the firms that you work with, specifically in the accounting space, how have you seen the impact of actually like having someone take it over or at least pour their heart and soul into their socials to help them grow their business?
Yeah, I think you outlined two really important points of like signs when you are probably ready. And it's mostly if you either don't have time for it or you don't like it. Like those are typically the signs that it is time to outsource or delegate, especially with someone or a team who loves it, who understands it, who has a lot of knowledge around it. Because just like I would outsource a bookkeeper, right? Like that is not my specialty. Like that's someone else's brain and like creative juice that they have for that. There's other people who are most likely way better at doing the marketing thing than you. Even though you could maybe do it, it wouldn't be to the level that, you know, you may want. And for us, it's really important that we've honestly worked with a decent amount of bookkeepers and people in the finance industry. And I do find that marketing is one of the biggest things they often struggle with and need the most support on. And whether it be just coming up with ideas or knowing what to write or what to post, but also just like you were saying, the lack of time is a huge, huge thing where You may not have time to sit down every week and create content. You may not have time to answer the messages and reply to the comments. And how we really like to work is to try and make it as easy as possible on the client that we can. And that's taken years to kind of get to the point where we are and getting feedback and hearing from people, this is what I need versus, oh, this isn't what I need. And I find that interestingly enough, a lot of the bookkeepers and people in the finance industry, when it comes to marketing, they're pretty hands off. They're like, do your thing, run with it. I trust you. I don't want to touch it. And that is music to social media managers' ears, because when you have someone who truly trusts you to do your thing, that gives you so much more confidence. And I think also bookkeepers and accountants have so much potential on social media. Like there is so much potential and opportunity to reach people. Like everyone needs a bookkeeper and an accountant in the online space, right? There are so many business owners out there who need that. And so if you can find the tools and people to work with to help you reach those people, to help you reach the goals, that you have, because probably a lot of, these business owners, just because, you're in this service-based finance industry, you probably have a bigger why, a bigger message that you want to get out there. You have maybe a brand that you really want to convey. And I think that's the beauty of social media, is you can both build a really authentic brand and also sell and promote your services at the same time.
Yeah, 100%. And one thing that you said that I really want to highlight, because it's my favorite thing in the whole entire world in business, is letting things go for the person that literally that's their zone of genius, to just let it go. I am probably like one of those clients that you already know. It's like it took me only a month of being like, let me just go through and like approve, make sure the voice is kind of on theme and that we're going where it feels like it's in alignment with me. And after that, I was like, if you guys don't hear a response from me, just know you're fine. And I literally don't think I ever even go into them. It sounds so bad, but it's been like months of like me not even going, because you guys use Loomly to go do the approval process. I don't even peek because I know that it sounds great. And then every once in a while, I'll like see a post or something and I'll be like, oh, this could have probably been a little bit different. I'll just message you guys, but I am just don't want to be involved. I don't want to care about the strategy. I don't want to care about the design. I mean, I want it to have an outcome. I know what I want from it. And if you can get me that result, I don't care what you do in between. It's like my favorite thing to do is just let it go.
That's amazing. I think that is what's most important, is that the business owner has clarity in what they want. They have clarity of the goals, because that's kind of one thing when someone comes to me and they have no idea, what the goal even is. It is harder for us to, try and create content or try and really get passionate behind the brand if there's not a strong why or vision, or direction that the CEO, the business owner has. We can come up with strategy and plans and all that, but we really love to hear from who we're working with, why do you do this, right? What do you want out of your social media? Because I think sometimes a lot of people think, oh, well, I know I have to be, on social media, so I will just put stuff up there, right? And I think it just goes so much deeper than that, because if you are just posting to post or have a presence on social media just because you feel you have to, it's never gonna work. It really, there has to be more behind it, because that's what leads to inconsistency. I mean, I see it all the time. I'm sure you see it all the time with, okay, I'm gonna get on my social media game for 2 days and then never be seen again for 2 months. So I think that you getting more connected to what do you want out of this? Truly, what do you want to give people, or what is the expertise or thought leadership you want to have? That clarity is so, so important.
Hey, listener, just wanted to quickly interrupt this episode today to ask you, have you been trying to find a better solution to actually taking payments from your clients? Then boy, do I have a solution for you. One of my absolute favorite pieces of tech is Pluto. Pluto is such a game changer in your business. It really helps you to allow you to be able to take payments easily from your clients through ACH. They also take credit card as well, but they have so many different options. One of the big perks to using something like Pluto over something like QBO and all the other options that we have out there for invoicing is because it is way more cost effective and it has saved me thousands of dollars on those fees that we get taken out for invoicing our clients. So we no longer use QuickBooks Online in order to invoice our own clients. We now have migrated over to Pluto. And if you want to learn more about Pluto and check it out, it is amazing. They make such a seamless process for our clients to be able to add the ACH information, to ask them to authorize us to be able to take the automatic payment every single month, and saves us a ton of money in fees. You're just going to go to workflowqueen.com/Pluto. That's workflowqueen.com/Pluto to learn more. Yeah, and it's funny what something that you kind of brought up that I wrote down to like kind of come back to is the not being consistent thing, because I feel like I really didn't start the whole social media process really until Workflow Queen. Like my very first firm, I didn't even like try to go down that rabbit hole. Also, I had a lot of clients that I gained from when I was a bartender. So I didn't really have to like go market myself in that way. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of grew organically. But anyways, at Workflow Queen, I definitely was like, okay, I have to be different. I have to do different things and blah, blah, blah. So I started with Instagram and I was very consistent, like always on stories. Like I said, I immediately outsourced. I think I tried it for about a month trying to do my own posts. And I was like, this is terrible. Yeah. I like outsourced it to Kiara at that time. And so anyways, I was really consistent for the first 2 years here at Workflow Queen, constantly on stories, constant. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like my life just really shifted for me. And to the point where like, if anybody who's following Instagram, as much as I'd love to be on stories and showing the behind the scenes and going through these things, which people love that about what I do, mm-hmm. it's been a long time since I've shown up on stories because I'm just like, I've got so much going on in my personal life, like with just things that are happening. And I'm also like in a more, I don't want to say creative because not in creative, like as in a design or like copywriting mm-hmm. way, but more of like the creative CEO type stuff that I get so stuck in that I forget to even film myself or forget to talk about mm-hmm. what I'm doing or what I'm building at my firm. And the reason I wanted to highlight that is to like give maybe listeners grace that like, if you can't show up, the beauty of having someone manage the social media makes it look like you are showing up and mm-hmm. you are active, even though you're not physically active. So I used to put so much pressure on myself because you guys actually do the stories for me too. Mm-hmm. They might not be like me talking, but like,
yeah.
They're visual stories, mm-hmm. but like, that's not me having to go in and post it. Mm-hmm. When before, when I worked with my other social media manager, they didn't do that part. Mm-hmm. And so it always felt like if I didn't do something on stories, I felt this like guilt.
Yes.
And that was one big thing that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. I think that was another reason why I chose yeah. you guys. Cause like, I don't want to do the stories. Cause
yeah.
I think like, I'll like randomly show up and be like, look at this snowstorm on for another 2 months. But I just give listeners grace. So like, if you can't be consistent, that's why these types of mm-hmm. letting these things go, they might not be able to show up on the stories for you, but they could do other things to supplement in the meantime to give you grace while you're still promoting the business. Other people don't even know you're not there.
1,000%. Yeah. I think when you think about it, you're like hiring for instant consistency. Like, so true. Like, it's like, okay, I know that there's going to be X amount of posts going up per week. I know that people will be responding to comments or, you know, doing whatever the things are. So I think that is another important element that I have found when clients do outsource and delegate this, it's like an instant just mental load, just off, like truly just off your shoulders, where you're not having to feel the guilt. You're not having to feel the pressure, that right, the kind of constant nagging voice in the back of your head that's like, you should post this, you should really do, right? You should do this, you should do this, you should. The word should just gets me all the time. And like, I understand it firsthand being a business owner myself, you know, and feeling like I'm not showing up enough on my social media accounts, right? Because I do it all day for other people. And often my own stuff gets, you know, pushed down. And then I have my own like mental, you know, and emotions and feelings about it. And it is really so interesting. I feel like similar to the finance industry, social media also just has a lot of people really struggle, I think, when it comes to like the mental health side of it, you know, like with and with the finance, there's a lot of judgment people feel, maybe shame, embarrassment. And I hear a lot of stories like that, you know, when it comes to social media and showing up, and whether it be that you're not confident on camera, you're not like you don't feel comfortable being visible, or you don't know what to say, right? There's so much that people get in their head about. And so I find that when you can have someone who not only implements the work, but can also help lead you and give you guidance is super important. And that's like where I really am passionate about is like, we meet you where you're at. Like we meet you with what you're comfortable. I may gently, you know, like nudge and recommend something, but like we're here. It's always like at the end of the day, we're here to like help and support you. And like, we're all human at the end of the day, right? We're not robots who can just like post content 24/7, but that's really important for us. And I think it really helps people's mental health and just take away a lot of the like negative and icky emotions that come along with it.
Yeah. And I think you're so right about like the way you feel and stuff. And I was very transparent with you guys when we started working together that I have my own body issues. I've got my own stuff. And as much as you've gently nudged me to like do certain things or some things where I'm like, I don't feel good in myself. And this is like the first time I'm even talking about this on the podcast, but
yeah.
I don't feel secure right now because I have let myself go because I threw myself in my business like a lot of us do. And so I'm just not where I used to be when it comes to being able to show up as much as I'd like to. I'm getting there. I'm getting back to my health and doing what I need to do. But that's the other thing where like, there wasn't this, it is a gentle nudge and it truly is. And I think no matter for any listener, no matter who you work with, or even if you do it to yourself, try to find ways to be able to do it to like still accommodate to how you feel. Because if you're not confident being on camera, there's a lot of information out there that will tell you like, just force yourself, just do it. I say, do whatever feels good for you. Like, don't try to force it. If you're really, there's a moment where like maybe forcing it might be good to get out of your comfort zone. But to be honest, like sometimes it's like, then just find an alternative way to get the same message out that might've been for someone else who likes to go on stories, who's a more ambitious, just started their business. They're excited about being on Instagram. And maybe you're not, like, that's okay if you've been doing this for years and you're kind of burnt out. Just do whatever. And that's what I like about you guys is that, like, if I don't feel like having those moments of having to be on, there's alternative methods. B-roll of me sharing my behind the screen or me going on vacation. And we just put words over it. It's like, you don't have to be jumping and pointing and screaming and singing and doing all the things that people do.
1,000%. And I think about, you know, all the clients that we work with, and while we may have the same services, right, the same core foundations, it is so different the way that we work with our different clients, like the things that we would recommend to different people, right, the style, everything. Because, and that's why it's really important for us to really get to know who we're working with and like the human, the business, like that is so important because it will be so different in what we propose to each person. And we have so many backup plans, you know, and like creative ideas for how we can execute on certain things. And I think also that when you're looking for someone in the marketing space to delegate or outsource it to, it's really important that they are, you know, up to date on what are the industry, you know, either trends or what are the new things happening, right? Where I don't necessarily recommend every trend to every client. You know, I don't necessarily recommend every new feature to every client. It's like I will specifically custom or personal recommend certain things to people based on them, you know, what they like, how their audience responds. So I think like just how someone would hire a personal trainer, right, to give them like precise things for their body or what they're looking for, I think that's really important with social media management too, is like, it's not necessarily a one size fits all. Like it's not there. Our clients' accounts look so different. But I think that's a good thing
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I'm like literally living proof because I've got two totally wildly different audiences, wildly different services. Like Workflow Queen, we sell courses and programs to accountants and bookkeepers. And then at Magnetic, we are literally servicing female entrepreneurs in the creative e-com space. Like it's two different branding. Like if anyone here understands without being a social media manager, it is 100% me because the service that you guys provide is the same when it comes to like how you execute the work, the flow, the consistency, the process. It's all the same, but the outcome is so different. And just even the ways that we do have to talk about, specifics and tax. And which brings me up to something I really wanted to touch on for people who, well, one, I want to explain real quickly in the shortest, easiest way possible for people to understand what is B-roll?
Great question. B-roll is, think of it as like in a film or a movie, when they're setting the scene, you're seeing some cinematic clips, right? Maybe it's a 3 second clip of someone sitting in a park, right? It's walking into the restaurant that the next scene is going to take place. That's where the term B-roll originates. And it's been adapted into social media, where it's a very quick, short clip that is kind of just setting the scene. It's just a moment in time. I think a moment in time is a great way to think about it. Hopefully that's concise and makes sense.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on that one. I'm like, that's a really good
Okay.
analogy because, yeah. So, the reason why I wanted to first lay out that question is because I want to go down with the next piece where I find in the industry that a lot of the resistance for most people in the accounting or finance space is I can't really show what I'm doing. How can I showcase it? Where most industries, like a VA business, can like film themselves doing VA work because it's not sensitive info. But we deal with in this space very sensitive information that we have to be very careful to never show. Like that's why I don't do a lot of behind the scenes of what I do at my firm, because if I am in the middle of someone's books or if I'm inside of them looking at reports, I can't film myself talking through what I'm doing unless I'm creating a dummy account, which then you got to go down the rabbit hole of creating the dummy account and all the dummy stuff. But what I mean is, what is a way that you can suggest for the accounting space to not have so much resistance to maybe someone who doesn't want to show up talking on camera, but maybe get those B-rolls? Anybody who follows Workflow Queen sees my big monitor and I'm usually just typing and doing things, but it never has financial anything on it. And Sydney knows that, like, we cannot use any financial data on my screen ever. And so, how can you suggest people to do those things on their side when we work in such a sensitive industry?
Totally. So, number one, I'll first say that I'm so glad we're talking about this because I think people creating a batch of B-roll is one of the best things that you can do for your content because it's evergreen. You can use it over and over again, and it is just working. It's working right now. It is. I always recommend go through like your day-to-day, just daily activities, and it really don't overthink it. It can be as simple as you brewing your cup of coffee. It can be as simple as you putting the leash on your dog and walking out the door. Like truly any little moment. It can be your candle flickering, the steam on your tea. Those things, you don't even have to show your face necessarily, right? There's a lot where you can show your face, where maybe it's just you opening up your laptop to start the workday. Maybe it's you on a client call, but the phone isn't even showing your screen, it's on the back, kind of showing you just talking on a call. I could prop up my phone right now and record me just filming this podcast without even showing us, on the screen. So I think there is a lot of creative ways that you can just see what are the little things I just do all the time in my business that all you need is like 7, 10 seconds. It doesn't need to be anything huge. You don't need to set up like all the lights and the things. It's really as simple as like, okay, let me just like prop my phone up, to take this quick little clip of me opening the fridge or, like literally, it can be the smallest thing. But that's when you think about like the content you consume, you're probably clicking on the reels that show people just like walking by, right, for a couple seconds with text on the screen. So I would say don't overthink it. Think of any little moments throughout your day that you can capture. You don't need to show your screen. You don't even need to show your face. Like, There are so many options. I would say, because you mentioned Christy had referred us to you, the Summa Collective with Christy and Jolene is one of our clients. And they're another great one to go look at the use of B-roll. I love meeting clients in person. I was able to meet with them in person, take some B-roll content. And that's what we've been using for their reels. They haven't filmed a reel in like months, like similar to you, right? Like we were able to take that. So if you want some more inspiration, like go check there, see some examples. But I'm so passionate about B-roll. I love it so much.
Yeah, there's so much amazingness that you can do with the B-roll. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's a lot of opportunities of me like vacation, a great one, a great example for anybody. Like what you do for people as I'm talking to the other people, the people listening, you're like, what? What we sell and what we do as the bookkeeping firm or the accounting firm or the taxes, whatever you do in the accounting space, you're essentially giving the client freedom to do as they want and enjoy their life, to not have to stress about the thing that you are taking off their plate. Mm-hmm. So even using you going on vacation, you sipping a margarita or just holding a margarita with the waves in the background can go a long way, because it's like you would rather be sitting on the beach with a margarita in hand than sitting and doing your taxes, let it off your hands and put it on our plate. You're painting a picture mm-hmm. of what their life could be like if you took these things off their plate. And so I think B-roll is amazing. I mean, every time I go on vacation, you're always like, make sure you get your little
yes.
and stuff and your pictures. And I will, and I'll do whatever I possibly can. And I'll get to a place where I feel okay about myself and my own skin to get back on what I want to do. Because I do crave those moments of like mm-hmm. getting myself on camera and doing all the things.
Yeah.
And I still do it. It's just like, I want to do more of it. And it's just like not where I'm at in my current phase mm-hmm. of life. So I'm glad we talked about it, because I think people have this expectation that it has to be like this professionally done, this crazy thing, and like
yeah.
all these graphics and all these things, where it's mm-hmm. like, it doesn't have to be so complicated.
Yeah. And honestly, if it makes people feel better, like reels perform better when it's shot on an iPhone, not when it's shot on a professional camera. Like Instagram and these apps love when you are just like using the apps and just using, you know, your phone. So it really doesn't have to be anything overly professional. I will say lighting does matter a little bit. Like, it, you know, they do like when it's well lit and you're not like, you know, backlit or it's very, you know, dim. But yeah, it's something that you could literally spend 30 minutes doing once a week, once every 2 weeks, and it would give you content for like weeks, truly.
Yes, I love it. So I wanted to go back to something that we kind of touched on at the very beginning, which was about knowing when, like, so you could put, you know, your all into one different platform or whatever. Mm. Really great example of this is for Magnetic. So my own bookkeeping firm, we just recently, so every month we meet with Sydney mm-hmm. and my account manager, Reagan. And essentially during that call, we had a discussion, because I was like, we're just not like LinkedIn is just not performing like we thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. And we're just deciding to go all in on Instagram, because we've gotten a lot of leads and a lot of like clients that we've landed from Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to take a step back and talk about that, because I think the space assumes immediately like, oh, you got to go on Instagram. You got to be on Facebook. I got to be on YouTube, and I got to be on all these different platforms.
Yeah.
So I'd love to kind of take a step back and like, I'd love for you to educate them on like how to really identify, maybe mm-hmm. that's testing, what their niche, where they're going to be hanging out, that it's okay to not be everywhere, I guess is where I kind of want to go with this direction.
1,000%. I think that is so important, because I think that's also what leads people to like analysis paralysis, right? And overwhelm. And I think it's better to take little action versus not taking action at all. And so I always start with like, who is your target audience and where are they? Just getting really clear on truly like, where does your person hang out? Where do they spend their time? I am a big proponent that most people primarily spend time on one app. Maybe they have like a secondary app that they check. And like, I know that for me, like I honestly don't go on TikTok. Maybe that's weird for like my generation, but I don't go on TikTok. Like I am on Instagram and I sometimes check Facebook. Like I would say that's my primary, my secondary. So I would just get really clear on like, who is your person? Where are they? Maybe you do a little bit of market research or, you know, experimentation of seeing like, you know, asking people, you know, where they hang out, but maybe, you know, posting and experimenting there. But I always recommend like start in one place and get really good at it. Like, get really good and build a solid foundation on one platform, because it is so much easier to then branch off in different platforms once you have an established audience. Like, I've seen it so many times where, a client is trying to do all the things, right? And like, you end up spreading yourself too thin. And it's so much better to put your energy and your knowledge in one space and hit it out of the park. Because, for example, let's say you want to start a podcast or you want to start a YouTube channel. Those are things that you kind of need an already built-in audience to even launch those things and be successful. If you are just trying to, start a YouTube and podcast from total scratch, that's going to take a long time and a lot of work to like really get those platforms up and running. So I think know where your people are at. Get really clear on one platform, understand it like the back of your hand, get really consistent posting on there. And then once you feel like, okay, I have like an audience on here, they're engaged, then branch off, like, then see where else you can explore. But I do think it is so important that people know they don't have to be everywhere. Like, you really don't. And I've seen so many fluctuations, on how the different apps change. And how people's behaviors, changes. Like, Facebook groups are so interesting to me because there are some Facebook groups that are so good. Like, they are crushing it, so much engagement. And then there are so many Facebook groups that have just tanked, like just Facebook groups that have just like, not existent anymore. So I think that's a good example, but I am a big, big fan of starting there and growing slow.
It's funny that you say that about the Facebook groups, because we used to have one, as you know,
Yeah,
Conquering
yeah.
Workflows and Systems Facebook group, but it's a free group. And man, like it's so funny. We just, like, engagement just stopped. It just
Yeah,
stopped. And so I
yeah.
was like, why are we even managing this thing? If, like, nobody's going to engage in it, like, we're just going to get rid of it. But however, our, like, paid Facebook groups, what I mean by that is, like, the people who've paid for our programs and have, like, invested in them are, like, so active. But it's even
Yeah.
more interesting because, like, our program kickoff with Asana, that Facebook group used to be so ridiculously active, like so active, like 3 to 5 posts a day, super active. Like, but we track KPIs and stuff, and for our Facebook groups, of how many questions are there, like how much interaction's going on. Well, anyways, it was really interesting because when we started Breakthrough, we had so many students from Kickoff with Asana convert to Breakthrough that literally Kickoff with Asana probably has like 1 to 2 posts a week now. It's
Yeah.
so crazy. But Breakthrough is like 7 to 10. Like, me and Brooke
Wow.
Swan, she's like the other coach in Breakthrough, have to do so much Facebook management. And but they're amazing questions. They're like, people are talking about like bonus payouts, like getting rid of really complicated clients, or like just, oh my God, I love the conversation. But it's so funny that you say that, because but it is true. It was like we also had to make the decision that, like, it's no longer serving us for certain things. So it's like the LinkedIn, it's like, as long as you're tracking the stats, and this is why I'm really big on KPIs. It's black and white data. You're not tying your emotion to it because everybody says you should do it. Well, if the data is telling you, then why not just get rid of it? Ditch it. I don't do TikTok just like you. It's probably the whole, like, I'm resisting it from all the newer generation. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I just can't handle another app. I really can't handle another place to look. Like, my mastermind, one's in WhatsApp, the other one wants Voxer, and then I'm like Slack and like all different places. I'm like, y'all are stressing me out here. And so I kind of wanted to, like, touch on a little bit when it comes to, like, determining what's going to be the best output for them when looking at these things. What are, like, the key maybe stats or things that they should be looking at in order to know, like, maybe this is a best decision to get rid of this, go all in here.
Yeah, I would say the two things are looking at your engagement rate and then looking at traffic. And what I mean by that is social media's kind of, and specifically like a social media manager's and management's main job when it comes to conversion is driving traffic. It, right? It's taking your audience and it's bringing them to another place, right? Whether it be a link, booking a call, whatever it is. So I would look at, how engaged is your audience? Are people commenting? Are you getting DMs? Like, are people watching your stories? Like, right, on any platform, looking at your engagement rate. Because If no one's engaged, you either need to like redo your strategy and kind of like start from scratch, or possibly look at a different platform. And then secondarily, are people converting through traffic, right? Are they clicking links? Are they going from your profile to your website? Like, that data is really important. And a lot of these platforms have gotten a lot better at kind of helping deliver that data, whether it be the back end of your website is helping give that, or if you are using a links page or ManyChat or something like that, they give great data. So I would say look at those two elements, because there's the vanity metrics of like how many followers you get, right? How many likes, how many like all those things. And while those can be somewhat helpful, I would say if you're really, especially for your business, looking at, is this worth my time and energy? Like, look at, is this growing my brand and is it converting? You know, like that's social media's, I would say, twofold job for your business. So start there. Don't get too overwhelmed by all the insights and analytics. And it does help make an informed decision, because I've had people come to us be like, I'm going to start a whole new Instagram, right? Like, I'm going to like wipe it clean, start from zero. And while that, honestly, it does work sometimes. Sometimes you just need to re-strategize. Like, it's very different for each person. I've worked with some people where they have changed their niche about 5 times with one Instagram. So their Instagram is full of followers who maybe followed them 10 years ago when they were teaching yoga, versus now they're like a business coach, right? So I think like that's an important one where you may want to start an entirely different Instagram, you know? So it's very dependent on each person. So I think getting clear on those two things is really helpful.
It's funny because you talked about branding and the conversion part of things. Yeah. Is it like actually converting? And that was one of my questions that I was ready to like kind of bring up. Mm. So I would love to know, because I know that sometimes people have their Instagram and it might not specifically convert, like specifically like people mm-hmm. book calls directly from like a post or directly from their Instagram.
Yeah.
But how does the difference between like branding and like just the awareness help with conversions? Mm-hmm. So if someone who's like, well, nobody's booking from Instagram, but maybe they're not like clicking from Instagram, mm-hmm. but maybe they're seeing your stuff and reminding them to go to that email that you sent to them. So what is like the difference between the conversion side versus just mm-hmm. the brand building side of things?
1000%. I'm so happy you bring this up, because brand awareness is like, I mean, when you think about it, it's the biggest ROI I feel like people could ever have is brand awareness. Because if I were to say to someone right now, like, how much would you pay to get your business in front of 50,000 eyes this month, right? Like, when you truly think about it that way, and that's typically what a lot of our clients experience is like, oh my gosh, this many people saw your content this week or saw or came to your profile this month. And that is invaluable, right? It's like someone paying for a billboard on the side of the road. May it lead to conversions? Who knows, but it's in that person's head. So I think that is a really important element. There's a lot of silent lurkers out there. Like, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily like or comment or send a DM, but they're looking at your stuff. And those, strangely enough, are the people that 3 months down the road are gonna book a call and book right away because they've been consuming your content for months and months. So sometimes it does take a bit of time. But that's what marketing and social media specifically is about, is that repetition, right? It's about seeing something. I believe the stat used to be for marketing that people needed to see something 7 times before they took action. Now that stat, I think, is like triple that number because of how much content we see, you know, with digital marketing. So when you think about it like that, people need that repetition. They need to just see things over and over, even if they're not necessarily taking action. So I think also like people being a loyal fan to your brand is something that, you know, I feel like people would pay any amount for, right? Is having a loyal audience and loyal fan base is going to get you so far. And then when it comes to conversion can look different depending on the business, what their goals are. I think what we talked about towards the beginning of like getting clear on what you're looking for out of this, right? Like, is the conversion that they are just following, right? They hit the follow button and you're growing an audience. That may be a conversion to some people. For other people, a conversion may be they are clicking the link in your bio, they are booking a call with you to become a client, right? That may be one funnel. Another way is they may join your email list, right? Or download a freebie. Or there's a bunch of different ways that people could quote unquote convert. So I think like start with that goal of like for brand awareness and the conversion, what does that look like? Like what is kind of that funnel, you know? On the brand awareness side, is it maybe they see your content on the explore page, they go to your profile and then they hit follow, right? And like absorb your content. So these two things, I think it's a balancing act, right? It's like always, you're always going to be having these two kind of complementary goals going on at the same time. And so I also think it's important for your content to keep that in mind, is that you're going to have people at all different stages consuming your content, right? That's why you want to diversify what your call to actions are, right? Like what type of content you're posting. I always come back to with marketing, building the know, like, and trust, right? So you are going to have people in all three categories all the time. There's going to be certain people who see your stuff. They don't know you at all. They just need to know like the basics, right? There's going to be people who are maybe in that like phase of like understanding your personality, right? Like your philosophy on things. And then there's going to be people who need more of the content to trust you. They need more of like the social proof and the testimonials. So that's like when it comes to holistically kind of strategizing and planning your content, it's keeping all of those things in mind of like, okay, my content needs to speak to all kind of three of these different people, and my call to actions need to reflect that. So yeah. I know I kind of just went on a little tangent there, but I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think, yeah, I like the idea of thinking about, well, what does conversion mean for you? Because it's just like any stat, like you could just pick a stat because someone says, here's some KPIs for your social
media.
But what's your end goal? Is your end goal, and they might not know the term of what the end goal is, but their end goal, if they were to paint the picture, is I want to be able to have, you know, calls booked, then that's your conversion. Like that is the conversion to you. And so what does that look like? So I really, really appreciate the explanation and the everything in between. I know that we're here almost at the end of our interview here, but I wanted to talk about a couple random little things here. One includes some of the conversions that we've had at Magnetic, because I know that they also, listeners, are running a bookkeeping and consulting firm. And they probably want to know, well, what's happened with you over there? So I know that I shared this with you guys on the last call that we did monthly, but essentially we've had a lot of conversions recently from our Instagram. Our most recent one was a $2.5 million business and they sell courses, which is our ideal niche. And I slacked you guys because I was like, I nailed it because it was ideal person or ideal personality, like literally checked off every box. And they converted from a post that said, have you outgrown your bookkeeper? And so I just thought it was so cool to like share like the ideas of the things that you could do. Sometimes it's not the technicalities. Sometimes it's not the like how to do your book. Sometimes it's calling them out on like how they feel and resonating with them so they could trust you. They're like, oh my God, I have outgrown them. Like, it's been interesting to see because like I said, we didn't have any conversions for calls. And that was my goal. I already knew what my conversion goal was.
Yeah.
When I started working with you guys, and starting working with you guys has really helped with the conversions. But at the same time, my niche lives on Instagram. They literally eat it up because they are creatives. They are social media managers. They are course creators who live in that space. So it made sense for us to go all in on Instagram and why we went full force into that system. So I wanted to kind of like talk about some ideas of posts that you might be able to share with our people. Because as you know, from stats of your own, that from our own profile here at Workflow Queen, you know that one of our number one top posts are anything that mentioned, here's some ideas of what to post on social media. So I'd love to kind of let you take the floor of like some suggestions.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I think listen to your audience. What are the things they're saying? What are the things you hear very often? What are their pain points and pleasure points? And literally use their exact words for a hook and just write your thoughts in the caption. Like literally, it can be as simple as that, is just use the feedback that you are getting. I'm going to bring it then back to my know, like, trust little categories. In the know category, think about, right, who you are, what you do, just simple, basic, like, ways to work with you, like, literally the basic information type of posts. Introduce yourself, maybe some, like, fun, wild facts. Like, that is what's going to first allow people to be like, oh, like, all right, I get what they do. I understand. In the like category, this is where you're going to do some more post ideas around like who you are, your personality, your likes and dislikes on things, right? So this is maybe where people are going to kind of engage or disengage, right? They're probably either going to follow or unfollow. So it may be like your thoughts on maybe a new like accounting, like not law that just came out, but a new like, I don't know, accounting
It could be like a
feature or
methodology.
tool or
Yeah, like a
yeah.
profit, people who follow Profit First and then people who follow Dave Ramsey. Like I am
exactly.
Not a Dave Ramsey fan, but I am a huge Profit First fan. But someone who listens and loves Dave Ramsey
yes.
might not resonate with me as soon as I start talking about how much I love Profit First. So great example
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So think of, you know, maybe it's like, do you choose QuickBooks over Xero? Like, right? Like those types of things, like show and display what your philosophies are, what your values are, what you stand for as a business owner, what you stand for as a bookkeeper or accountant, what your beliefs are about certain things. And then in the trust category, this is where it is going to convert people, right? They want to see the social proof, the testimonials. They want to see results or case studies that you've gotten from certain clients. So those are all different post ideas you can have kind of within that category. Maybe you're talking about your education or like why you're qualified, you know, to do what you do. Maybe you are sharing recommendations that you recently gave on a like financial advisory call or something like that. So I would say like kind of think in those categories and try and rotate through those ideas throughout the month. So yeah, I would say start there. And I guarantee that you will get inspired for more post ideas just from those topics. You know, like there are so many things, even when I'm like talking to clients, that they'll talk to me for a minute and I'm like, oh my God, I just thought of like two post ideas from what you just said. You know?
Yes, I love that. I know that I'm like that person who like on our calls, I'm like blabbering all the things, all the ideas. And because even like myself, like you said, I know what I want to say. I know the knowledge that I carry. I know the expertise. I know the results that we can give at my firm. And I know what we can do, but I cannot articulate how to say it in a way that's strategic, but yet can be approachable. And I think that that's why I've leaned on the professionals, because like I really do, I will ramble. I will go in circles. My friends, literally in my real life, like tell me all the time that like, if you want me to give you like the whole story, you just ask one question that's supposed to be yes or no. It'll be like yes or no. And I'll have to explain why it's yes or no. And it's not like I'm trying to get validation. It's just legit. I like to explain my thought process to people. And it's so annoying sometimes because I'm like, can I just like answer yes or no, like without getting into the crazies? But anyways, the reason why I'm saying that is because I think it's really important to also recognize when maybe that's not someone's strong suit. So it kind of leads to the perfect way to kind of segue into the conversation of what services that you guys offer your agency, what to expect if someone is interested in working with you, how can they get into your world and all the fun things.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to welcome everyone who's listening that my digital online space is a safe space for, you know, all the things. And so I am not someone who is like, which I'm sure if they've been listening this whole time, they know, but I am not like a social media person that's telling you to do a bajillion things and making you feel bad or anything like that. So safe, welcome space. Our bread and butter is social media management. That's the main way people work with us. We have different packages kind of based on how many platforms you're looking for, how many posts, things like that. The secondary way are I love leading like strategy calls with people. So those are more of like a one-off. We hop on the phone for an hour and you get my brain for that hour. Like you would advise someone on, financial or, tech stuff, let's say. So that is also another option. And then my Instagram, that's probably where I'm most active. 22 Marketing Co underscore is Instagram. My DMs are always open. And from there in my link in bio, I have a freebie, lots of freebies. Honestly, if you click on resources, I have so many resources, some ebooks and things that people can check out. And then that's also where you could apply to work with us. All of the links are there in my bio. So if you have any questions on things, like I said, my DMs are open. And yeah, that's primarily what we do.
Yay, I love it. Well, I love what you guys do. Like I said, it's nice to have everything off my plate. It's nice to see the conversions because, you want to pay someone to be able to have like the direct conversions of what you want from it. So I really do appreciate everything that you guys do at 22 Marketing Co. and just everyone. Your team has been awesome. I love working with them. They're just as amazing as you are, which is nice.
They are.
So thank you for sharing all your insight today and everything. I'm going to drop all the links for anyone listening who's interested in reaching out to Sydney or you want to get into her world or maybe even just chat through whether it's a perfect time for you to let this stuff go. But yeah, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of our Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang, the founder and owner of Workflow Queen. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with a fellow bookkeeper or an accountant on social media, and also tag me on Instagram at Workflow Queen. The more that we work together to get this out in front of other people, the better I can help to serve this industry to create more solid systems and processes. Now, go take what you learned from today's episode and apply it into your practice so you can finally give yourself the brain space and freedom that you deserve. I can't wait to see you unfold throughout your journey, and thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. See you next time.